Well, praise God. We're looking back into our teaching again concerning the return of Jesus Christ, because there's so much said, and we're going to begin, especially people today, they're still predicting, and people have a lot of ideas and things, and it's one of the things that I just, if I'm learning more and more about it, just, you know, walk and live in the Spirit, and God will show you what you need to know at the times that we're in. There are predictions going on. In fact, we were down at the meetings there, and Randy said there people are predicting, I think it's April 8th that Jesus Christ is going to return. It has to do with there's two events going on, the eclipse and the comet that is going to be. There's going to be a comet that's supposed to be visible. So, you know, it's amazing to me that Christians fall for that. You know, there's a, as we go on and teach, we're going to teach some of these things about signs. Concerning signs, because there are things that is, but we need to, if people don't realize that they're trying to do natural, through the natural, trying to determine spiritual. And it just does not work that way. And so, praise God. Last time we were teaching, we were looking at the fact, we looked at Israel, I brought up the thing where people make the statement and they say, well, Jesus, and I've heard this loads of time from many ministers, well, Jesus Christ can't come back till the church gets ready and all this, blah, 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 blah. Well, we looked at Israel in the last time and looking at the Messiah coming for Israel, and Israel wasn't ready. But God did not send the Messiah because Israel wasn't ready. And it's one of the things, and I just want to say this, the church in America has a head so big. They have the idea that Jesus is going to return because of America. Well, if we don't get straightened out here in America, do you think there's not the rest of the world out there? Well, no, the Americans think that God is only moved by America, you know, that we're the only nation on the earth. The rest of the Christians out there, you know, they're insignificant to God. It's all about America. Well, it's not all about America. And, you know, God's not moved whether American Christians get ready or not. And we found that looking at Scripture. And one of the things that we looked at, Jesus Christ is going to return. And right now, America as a nation is not ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And the American church in general, that doesn't mean there's Christians who are ready. But there's many Christians who are not ready for the return of Jesus Christ. So we need to, was talking about the end of things, and you know, one of the things Randall Greer has dealt with us in the meetings down there, talking along the lines that the Lord said about this things is back in the end of December there, the Lord had spoken to him about things, talking about this was going to be a great year of deception in the church. And it is. I mean, we're dealing with things that people are just falling for stuff. Anything that looks like it's supernatural, they don't check anything out to find out if things are accurate, if they're true. They're going to online stuff. Somebody says, you know, it's just, I'm just this way. If somebody says something and I am not, I don't know them and I don't know who they're, I don't know their credibility, I check out and find out about them. I don't care what, they may be absolutely right in what they say, but I don't believe it because they say it. I've learned over time, especially going online, if you go online and you're looking for truth, you better do research, because there's more lies than truth online. And people say things and ministers say things about stuff that was said online. And one of the things that's just like, I really thought this blew my mind. On Wednesday morning, when I was at the meetings down, the Wednesday morning meeting, we're sitting in the meeting, and Randy's was talking about some of the stuff about deception and things, about things, people falling for stuff and doing things about how, you know, people are getting gullible, falling for, you know, different kinds of stuff. And, I'm there, I'm thinking, yeah, because, I mean, I have seen so much of this over in my Christian walk. I have seen so much stuff come and go. And I've seen major ministers fall for stuff. I have seen, and I'm amazed. But people are just so gullible, and when the service is over, this person comes to me. After Randy did all this talking, that's why you can sit under the best teaching in your life and hear nothing. People do it all the time because they have their beliefs. And when they listen, they hear everything in line of how they believe. They don't, you know, and nothing, they don't pay attention. And this person comes to me and says, By checking this out online, they found the blood of Jesus. And I thought, well, somebody went to heaven and saw it. I guess. No, we found the blood of Jesus. Well, it turns around that they look it up online. This is, they found this blood, and it's they said, well, you know, it's still alive. This blood is still alive. Yeah, because, you know, see, using the term Jesus, it's still alive. They said it has female DNA, but it doesn't. They don't have the male DNA, and blah blah blah, or something. Or there's a DNA they don't know what it is, and blah 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 blah. Personally, I don't think God has DNA, like we talk about. DNA is a natural thing; it's not spiritual. God the Father is a spirit; He is not natural.
That's right.
See, if people ever read the Bible, which they don't. And number one, how would you know it was Jesus' blood? Because we'd have to take a sample of his blood to match, to find out. But no, they fell for it. This guy, what they did is they found the Ark of the Covenant. But they ain't allowed to go back to it ever again, and so they can't ever prove it. And they found this blood on there, and he said it was the blood of Jesus. Well, the blood of Jesus on the Ark of the Covenant wouldn't have done any good at all, because it wouldn't have done anything. Putting on Jesus' blood had to go to heaven, to the holies of holies, to make the eternal redemption. The ark was a temporal thing, just a type and a shadow of something. You could have put all of Jesus' blood on that, and we'd all be going to hell. It wouldn't have mattered. It doesn't matter. It couldn't have. But anyhow, you know, and the whole thing of it is putting the blood on there wouldn't do it any good, because when Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit left the holies of holies. He wasn't there. It's like, okay, now. But, you know, this person said, I'm thinking, how could you fall for this? You know, I mean, these people, they go to Randy's meetings all the time. And Randy's talked about it, because we've joked around about this, the Bible that oozed oil and all that stuff, which they found it was a big fake thing, and about all this stuff that is going on over time. And just people, and over the years, I could say, to the things that people came along and said, and this person was just as sincere. And I just thought, no, I ain't saying anything. Because, you know, it's just like, knock, knock, knock. Is anybody home? Instead of, you know, it's like, don't bother saying anything. And that's why, see, what we need to understand is when we deal with the end times, there's so much a mixture of nonsense and so little about the Word of God and things that are going on. And it's why we have to look at the Word. And people haven't done it. They preach down the years. You know, a minister said this, and which I, you know, heard say. I really respect and everything, but you know, they were talking about kidding around about things about the house, the new house they built, and the front of the house faces east. And he says, well, you know, that's so we can see out of our front windows when Jesus Christ returns coming from the east. And now I know this about that, about the minister, is he believes we're not going through the tribulation. If he's going to see Jesus Christ come from the east, he's going to be here during the tribulation. But see, one of the things of it is, now people think that this thing is not, that's sort of an insignificant. I'm sorry, if people preach that that is the truth, then they're going to, what do people say who are listening to them, who go then and read the scripture and see that that happens at the end of the tribulation? You see, it is important what we're saying. And when they say that stuff, they sort of laugh and sort of kid about it. And it's nothing funny about it. It's serious, because most Christians are not taught the Bible concerning the return of Jesus Christ. So they don't know. Most people go around quoting other people and never quote the Bible. And when they quote the Bible, they quote it out of context. And we need to know that is number one. This is for your security. It's for you. You can't have faith beyond you know what the Word says. You can't have faith. You can believe if you want to, whatever the preacher says. You need to know from the standpoint of Scripture. And things that people talk about must come in line with Scripture. And one of the things that we see is toward the end, and we know because eventually we'll go on and look at more Scriptures and things even said in the New Testament, because it talks about, Paul wrote about how people were going to be in the end times. It's not showing that things are going to become more glorious or more wonderful from naturally with people. It's not going to be. We're warned of the church and doctrines of devils, all kinds of things. We're warned of these things in the end times that we're looking. Now, these things, don't get the idea that this doctrine to devils didn't exist before. It sure did. But we're just going to see it more magnified and more magnified, people getting whacked out. And understand this, don't get the idea, a lot of people get the idea that the church in America, when I listen to some preachers preach, it's sort of like we're the key to what God's going to do in the world in the end times. There's a real deception. People are deceived in those areas, and they are. Satan deceives you. Number one, Satan will always want to build you up to be more than you are. He'll want to do that to you. He wants you to have a big head. See, when people don't believe that they can be deceived, they are already. And we need to understand we're supposed to, the Bible says to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so he can exalt you. Exaltation comes through humility, not through knowing the most, being the brightest, the most popular, has nothing to do with it. In fact, many people get into those positions and lose their anointings and get deceived greatly. And so we want to be careful in those things and that stuff. You don't have to become anything great for God to reveal himself to you. You don't have to be a big deal. You know, there's people that they don't stand in a ministry office. And I'll tell you what, I would rather listen to them than a lot of people in ministry office. They're more sound. they're not trying to be something else. I don't have to perform to anybody. I don't have to come up with a new revelation. The Bible has plenty already I don't know. So I can get some new things right out of there. I don't have to find things. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to us. What we're going to go in to do is we're going to start. I wasn't going to go here right away, but then the Lord really dealt with me to do this. We're going to look at some prophecies because we need to understand God is speaking. Just like we need to understand whether the prophets in the Bible spoke, we need to come to the place, it doesn't matter if I know what they said, I need a revelation of what they said. We don't learn the Bible because we know how to read. That isn't how it works. The Bible is bought by revelation of the Holy Spirit. You can memorize and quote and do all kind of things. That doesn't mean you have revelation, that's scripture. You may have information, but that information needs to become real. It's one thing as I can find out, I can tell who has revelation and who don't. If you go around, you quote a scripture and you don't live by it, you don't have a revelation. It's not real to you. Now, all of us can quote things that are not real to us and that stuff. They might be to a point, but there's one thing, what you have a revelation of, and I always use the thing, if you sat here tonight and you really believed that this ceiling was going to collapse on you, you wouldn't sit here and just keep it. You guys would out the door. Christians, Jesus is soon coming back, and they're living like he ain't ever coming back. I know this. They know from the scriptures that Jesus is coming back, but they don't have a revelation of it. They just say it. So, what do we want to do? We want to come to a revelation of it's true. When you start living in the light of a revelation, this is what's going to happen to you. You will get more revelation. You do not need any more revelation. If you don't live the light of what you have, you don't need any more. There's no purpose in it. God is just not an information packer. He's not like you go to college and you sit down and you take this test. You know, with God, the test is with God is this, living what you hear. That's the test. You don't sit down and find out how much you know. It's what you can do with what you know. That's God's interest. And so when we look at these things, and I want to say that because we look at prophecies and things that are said that are given in our time, and we need to know this, that God does speak by prophecy. Understand this about prophecy. Prophecy is, like the Apostle Paul said, and I think is a thing you need to measure by. When you're dealing with prophecy, Apostle Paul said this, he said, we prophesy in part. Prophecy, any one person giving a prophecy is not the whole thing. It's a part of. In other words, it's a piece of revelation from God. It's a part of what God's saying. No one person has the whole thing. Nobody has the whole thing. So you might have somebody come along with a prophecy, that is maybe another part of that at times will come along, will add to something or do something. But no one speaks. There is no one from a standpoint who's a prophet. Brother Hagin talked about it. Brother Hagin spoke in certain areas, but he said there's certain areas that he doesn't speak into because that's not what God, how God uses him or what God would do. Now, and we need to understand that. People follow people, and after a while they follow them and just live off of their prophecy and what they say. You can't do that. That's like taking one prophet out of the Bible and that's the only thing you'd listen to. I mean, that, you know, you don't listen to anybody else, only that. Well, that's not going to work. In other words, those things that that prophet said, the things are good and there are things that can be helpful to you, but they're not everything. That's why it's like reading the Bible, you can't, I always get, I find this about people who get stuck on subjects, like they develop, all they do is look at end time stuff. They always get way out of balance and whacked and start, you know, predicting stuff. They start doing things. Why? They get over deception because they have little knowledge in there. They're just stuck on this one side and then they carry it to an extreme. And don't do that. Don't care. It's like to, I saw this with faith people. I've listened over the years of Kenneth Hagin teach faith. And I watch people got into extremes in teaching in faith. People get really whacked out. They have a lot of things that are spiritually inaccurate. But they teach them concerning faith and people follow it because people like to hear it. You know, we're all going to drive, you know, Lamborghinis or whatever else. We're all going to have this. We're all going to have that. People love to hear that stuff. You know, I don't want a Lamborghini because it don't suit me for driving anyhow. I can't put the pedal to the metal with it. So what's the use to having it? If I can't drive it over 200 miles an hour, what's the point? That's what I want to do with it. If I got one and wanted to enjoy it, I had to buy a racetrack. I don't want to buy a racetrack. I don't want a car scene. And I'm not going to drive it and go stick it in a garage somewhere and never use it. So sometime down the road, if you can't drive it, who wants it? Now, I know there's people that love to do that stuff. They love to stick them away and tell everybody all what they got. I have no interest in that. I'm just sorry. Don't do nothing for me. But if you enjoy that, go ahead. Put it away. You know, it's all this stuff people do. It's how people view about wealth. It's what it is. I am not a new building bigger barn Christian. I'm not that. I'm not the bigger barn Christian. I have no interest in that. I'm just going to build it all this out of here and then I can just sit back and relax. I don't have that interest. I love to study the word and go further and I just don't have the interest in that kind of thing. Some people, they want to do that. Well, we're not in the same boat. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, I ain't going to say the person's going to go to hell because they're building bigger barns. They ain't going to do whatever they want. Hallelujah. We're going to walk in the light of what we had. And we're going to look here at prophecies. It's one of the things is when you look at prophecy, we need to listen to our spirits about what something is said. And this is why we want to talk in the light. One of the things is we did go through quite a few things here in teaching about with end times. And in doing so, when we look at these prophecies, I'm going to, one, a familiar one that I've used many times for Brother Hagin, had given, that was from Rockwell, Texas, when he was there holding tent meetings in September 2nd in 1950. We want to look at it because it really does speak to our time. But you know, you need to know it speaks. You need to find out. You know, you need to ask God. I have listened to prophecy. I've listened to people in different prophesying things. And I seek God about them. I take time and pray. If you just listen to prophecy and just take it because it's said, you can be easily misled. Because there's many voices out here saying many things. You need to take the time to ask God. I have prayed over the number of prophecies and stuff. I prayed over them over time. Over the years, I have prayed about this prophecy many times, asking God about it. Number one, if it was given by God, it must be revealed to me by revelation and not just because of words that are said. Is this thing speaking what God said? And what's God revealing to us about it? How does it measure to where we're at and what we're doing? God has used this prophecy here for the numbers of things over time with me here concerning things that would go on or happen. One of the things dealing with this prophecy, because of this prophecy, before 9/11 took place, in fact, it was probably, I would say, about 6 to 8 months before 9/11 happened. God kept coming to me to go to this prophecy. And I would get it out and read through it. And I would just, I just kept getting the sense it's trying to tell something's going on. I don't know. But anyhow, and I did it on and off. I would go put it away. Then a month or so would go by, and it would just keep on me about that prophecy. I'd get it out, get it out. And well, eventually 9/11 came along, and when 9/11 happened, the day that it happened, I knew God was trying to talk to me about something was going to happen. One of the things I think I should have probably taken and just spent more time in prayer about it, was trying to find out what the Lord was trying to tell me. But see, the Lord's always trying to talk people to something. I'm convinced of this. Anything that, I know this for a fact. Anything that has to do with me, my life and around me, God will always talk to me about it. If something happens and I didn't get it, that's my fault because I wasn't listening. You need to understand this. God is always trying to get a hold of people about stuff that affect their life. Always. You know, I would, you know, when the year 2000 come and we had all these ministries on TV, radio, everything, all people hyping, ministers, oh my God, the computers are going to go under. They're all getting ready for this big, big thing that's going on. And the whole thing that I knew that nothing was going to happen with that because I knew enough about God over the years that anything that affected me, He talked to me about. And I remember one guy came to me and asked me, what do you think about 2000? What's going to happen? And I said, nothing. It's going to happen. And he said to me, well, what do you mean nothing's going to happen? What do you, well, you know, so and so. I said, nothing's going to happen. Well, how do you know? Did God tell you? I said, no. I said, that's why I know nothing's going to happen. I said, if anything was going to happen, God would tell me. You see, one of these things, you know, you learn to live and talk about faith. You will set, understand, your future has been set by your mouth. You'll hear God by tomorrow by what you've been saying in the past. If you've been talking like God or paying no attention or not ever saying anything about it, not even setting anything in motion. See, I always say, God will talk to me. God will reveal himself to me. I've said for years and years on end. See, that's my faith. God will reveal. See, many people go through life and don't get revealed much. They've never said much about it. They never talked like they were going to get something. We need to know our mouth is what set things, our future. Your future is set by what you're saying in the past. What you're saying. So start talk about the fact. You know, I've heard people say, I read the word and I just don't get anything from it. I never say such a thing from my mouth. I have been saying for years and years since I've been a young Christian. I've been saying, when I read the word, God reveals it to me. He gave me the Holy Spirit, so I know the word. He shows me the future. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. See, I can always say, the Holy Spirit's going to show me the future. Why? Because that's His job. If I'm not seeing anything about the future, then I would have a different Holy Spirit than somebody else does. Well, see, everybody think it's some minister somewhere. He has to have it and do it. I'm sorry. I ain't got a different Holy Spirit than these other guys. I got the same Holy Spirit. He reveals to me. So when we go to these prophecies, you need to know what God's speaking. And sometimes, you know, I've taken time concerning prophecies, prayed about them, asked the Lord about them. What is it? What do I need to know about it for my time? You've given this thing speaking into our time, but it must become a revelation. I need to know how it fits. Not just that these things are said and say, wow, that's something. I know many people who have read these prophecies all the time. It is amazing. I can sit down and the average person who graduated from Rhema, who stands in the ministry, can tell you about these prophecies, but they do not live like they're true. Oh, they'll tell you, oh yeah, Brother Hagin said, yeah. But they don't live like they're true. Why? They don't have no revelation on them. They just treat there's some words said really neat, this and that and the other thing. They just go on with their stuff and I think, you guys ever take time? It's just like the Bible. You didn't read the Bible one day and all of a sudden believed it all, did you? Why? Why? Well, it's the Spirit of God revealed it through people. It's no different than these prophecies or these things that are said by the Spirit. It's no different. It's no different than Paul's letters that he wrote by the inspiration of the Spirit. No different. And see, we need to understand these are words spoken by God and where they fit. How do they fit? Do they fit in time? And so, as we look at these, we're going to start tonight in this. In fact, I'm going to go through what we're going to do is begin to look at these. And the Lord had me put down, and I put a sequence of things that the Lord spoke to me over the years and how they fit, things fit. Now, number one, we need to understand this is how things fit over time is what God says. God's making a picture of things. And God never gives the full picture at one time. Never does. You have to walk by faith. Man wants the picture of the whole thing at one time. We want to have it up. That's not the way it works. We walk by faith. God gives us a part and we start to walk in that. And then He gives us further revelation as we go along the path. You don't have to know what's 5 miles down the road if you haven't walked 1 mile. You know, it's like, You know, just head down there the path you can see. This is how you trust God. You walk as far as you can see. What's down there at the other spot? That's not to you. You don't have to worry about that, because if he doesn't show you what's beyond, that's his problem now. You know, so all I got to do is walk on in the revelation that I have. So you'll find different people have different levels of revelation on things. And you can't walk in somebody else's revelation. You can't do it. No matter what has been revealed to them, they may be able to tell you about it, but you've got to come to the place where you can walk in it, where it's beneficial to you. But God doesn't expect you to walk in what you can't walk in. Wouldn't that be stupid, you know? You know, we do it all. Humans are on those levels. We don't expect a 2-year-old and a 10-year-old to be walking in the same level in life. It wouldn't be fair to expect that out of a 2-year-old. And so we, in the same way. So in this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start into this really where the explanation begins in this prophecy Kenneth Hagin had, where he began to read a scroll. And I started to, he said, I continued to read the scroll. He said it was written in the first person and was just like Jesus himself speaking. He said, America is receiving her last call. I want to see this. Now, this was in September 2nd, 1950. He said, America is receiving its last call. In other words, it's already having it. America entered its last call. In other words, this thing is about the return of Jesus Christ and him coming back. He said America is already receiving her last call. He said some nations have already received their last call and will never receive another. Now let's get the picture of this. He's talking about a national call. This is not that God would not move in people and nations. You've got to keep things in the perspective that what it is said. Now, we go into 1950, America's having its last call. We'll talk about these things in a little bit more, because you have to understand, you have to measure this against the time it was spoken in. Now, most of you don't remember, know much about back in those times. Now, I was born in 1950 in January, but I remember as growing up in the healing revivals of the 50s, I remember those time period and things going on and what happened. People, this is one of the great problems we deal with today. People measure prophecy, they measure things in the light of their conditions they're in today and what is going on. You cannot do that. Things that are spoken at that time, we need to understand. We take them and measure how our culture is, how our culture thinks now. No, this is spoken at a certain time and events, because it says here as we go on in this, he says, Jesus made this one. He said, the time of the end of all things is at hand. So in other words, we're coming up close. Now we need to understand this, because we'll talk later on as in teaching going concerning the day of the Lord. We talk about a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. From 1950 up to today, we haven't gone very far in the day of the Lord. We haven't gone. See, in the ideas, understanding what God is saying. This is why, is we need to get thinking properly about it. You know, when the Lord said that Israel would go to Egypt, he said to Abraham, 400 years. Well, it was 430 years when they finally left. So he said 400 years. To God, you know, that their extra 20 seconds didn't mean much. We need to get it in line. See, this is why you got to interpret the Bible by the Bible. You don't interpret the Bible by your culture. This is why things are so many. You go into every culture, they're all the same. All Christians in all cultures interpret the Bible in light of their culture. And we all have things that are messed up. Because we interpret them in the light of our cultures. How we were raised, how we were done. And I've learned over time, I say, man, you gotta get thinking heavenly culture. You gotta thinking in God's mind. What's God viewing? What's he saying from his side? Some things he speaks at concerning man's side. But lots of times he speaks things, it's from his side. And, you know, like how much of the book of Revelation was looked at from God's side? It was what was heaven doing? Was bringing what was causing things to happen on the earth? It was from heaven's side, and so we need to make sure. But he said he repeated this at least 4 or 5 times. So 4 or 5 times he said the time of the end of all things is at hand. Jesus said that. So Now, he said, he also said that this was the last great revival. Now, I've heard people talk about this, about there's this great revival coming. I want to tell you there is a great revival coming, but that's not this revival he's talking. He's talking about a revival. Understand, this is September 2nd, 1950. In 1948, the healing revival started, and really, that was the greatest actual revival nationally we've had in America. It started off. It was a healing revival that started, and that healing revival moved in to eventually what we call the teaching ministry of the charismatic renewal. Greatest outpouring of the Spirit in our nation. That's already happened. People are trying to measure this thing into where it's not. People have this idea that there's just national, I believe America's ended its last call. I do not, from what God has showed me and even things I've seen, some things we'll lead later if we can get run in tonight, things that Brother Hagin had gave in prophecies, that America is not going to have a great national revival. Nationally, I don't believe nationally America is going to nationally return. I don't think it's going to happen. Because things are not moving in that direction, and there's things that the Lord spoke to me and it's proved out over the years. It's one thing of it is you can begin to see things going on. But he said this was the last great revival. I believe the revival time that we moved through at that period was America's last call. And what did we do with it? Look at America's condition today, what we are. What did we do with that great move of God all through that period? And what did people do with it? I can take you around people in our communities over in Lebanon that were in those moves and all that stuff and all excited about it. Today, you know, they're dead fish. They're just religious now and that stuff going on. We're nice people and these other people are bad people, but we're really nice people. It ain't nothing but like the religion that I grew up in. You know, it was just, there's no move and power of God. They aren't expecting much of anything. They aren't, you know, it's like, you know, the miraculous is going out of them. Yes, God does miracles. He wants to heal and all that kind of stuff. Just nobody ever gets it. It's like, hold it, you know. He goes on to say, now this concerning this revival, and they've had this, and as he said, all the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation in the last days, and the church will do greater things than even the early church did, and have greater power. Signs and wonders were written in the Acts of the Apostle. Now, let me just say this. You go back through the 1950s during the healing revivals. There was absolutely astounding stuff that happened. If you went from a miracle standpoint, I mean, they had loads of things that far beyond what we see in the book of Acts and the Apostles. Astronomical stuff took place. So time and time again, absolute miraculous, supernatural things took place. These events were going on all the time. Well, he said, we have seen experiencing many miracles, but we will now be amazing miracles such as not been seen before. More and more miracles we perform in the last days, which are just ahead. For he said, it is time for the gift of the working of miracles to be more in prominence. We now have entered into the area of the era of the miraculous. Now look, he's talking about this thing they're about to enter into. So that revival has to be that revival turning into it. See, people keep, oh no, this is something ahead they keep saying down the road. That's not what this is saying. It's not talking that. Well, we don't talk about the end, but see, we need to put things where they are. The miraculous took place. Miraculous, incredible stuff that took place. The things that happened during those time periods. I mean, I remember, I'm trying to think of who that was. He was, I think he was down in Jamaica back in the 50s. T.L. Osborne was down in Jamaica in the 50s. I'll never forget, they had this picture of him down there ministering in Jamaica and healing. He's standing on a stage, and this stage is probably 8-10 feet up in the air. And there is a pile of crutches, wheelchairs, brakes, all that, higher than what the stage is sitting on, is piled up behind him. They have this picture, and he's standing there. ministering to people. There was miraculous going on in those days. God was doing astronomical things. Most of the people ministering today have not lived it. They don't know the days. So they're talking like, you know, they don't know the, you know, well, it isn't a day I've seen, so it couldn't be. The miracle, they didn't have, no, it's been here. This thing was here. This national call that God gave. This national call God gave to this nation. Now listen to what he said. He went on from here. He says, many of my people will not accept the moving of my spirit and will turn back and not be ready to meet me at my coming. Many will be deceived by false prophets and miracles of satanic origin. Well, we have down here, he said, in other words, those things were done to get people ready for the end. But people moved away from the move of the Spirit. People don't like the things of the move of the Spirit a lot. You know, lying spirit for your people because, you know, they, you know, you get up doing this stuff. You know, people think you're weird, you're strange. Everybody likes to be liked. I want to be liked by people more than I want to be liked by Jesus. I want to be liked by people. What people are doing is much, much more important. And people move away from it. I mean, I have seen it. I mean, I know of churches that they move away. They move away. Right now, you'd go to churches and that stuff that used to operate in these things, and it'll tell you now, like, they don't want tongues and interpretation in their meeting. They don't want these. They don't pray for the sick or anything. All that's done in a hidden room. You know, this room you go to after the service. Because we don't want to disturb the service by having the Holy Ghost moving. We would want that. So we have this room where the Holy Ghost will never go, and we send people back there, and people try to do what the Holy Ghost does. Number one, you're not going to hold him out of the meeting. But people like to do that. We're having this. But he says this, many of my people, just thinking, many of my people won't accept the moving of my spirit. Many will be deceived by false prophets, miracles of satanic origin. I've watched that in these last days. I've watched these things of miracles of satanic people. Fallen for, was a huge thing. Randall Grill told the story about of going to one of the REMI meetings, Rhema Ministerial meetings, and he's a speaker, main speaker, and he gets there, and God tells him to talk about this gold flake and these jewel things. They had this woman who was down in, Brazil somewhere, and she was so-called, she was a prophetess, and she was a, probably was a satanic prophetess. But she was with all this stuff, and she would shake her hair and gold flake would come out of it, and she'd have all this stuff and so-called jewels and things. I mean, this actually stuff was happening. I got into studying about it because of reading at it, and there was ministers who were from Brazil and that stuff. They got into checking her out because they were saying this is gold. And they got samples of this stuff, and they said, well, it was gold color. But they said it was, they ran tests, they couldn't figure out exactly, the tests wouldn't show exactly what it was, but it was like a polymer type thing was showing up. But it wasn't real gold. Well now, if it was real gold, people should be wanting to collect that stuff, but they weren't. I mean, it was, you know. I mean, they had people and that stuff where this gold flake would show up all over their face and that stuff and all kind of things, and they're having these, and people just thought that was just something. Well, you take a ministry of Jesus. And what importance is it that gold would show up? If I can't buy something with it, what good is it? See, people love to see something that looks spectacular, and that's what the devil will give you. The ministry of Jesus, what did he do? He healed. He did whatever he did was to bless people. Jesus was never a show off. He never drew attention to himself. Whatever you're doing to try to draw attention. See, this is what people do. They want to become great in ministry. You do things that draw attention to you. You know, over the years, I'd get people, a guy gave me a call one time and he said about, he wanted to come and speak at our church. And he was saying, yeah, he has this miracle ministry. So I said, what's your miracles? Yeah, tell me. So I said, what miracles are you going to do in our church? He said, your miracles. Oh, we could expect you're going to do miracles. What miracles do you do? And he just sort of hem-hauled around and that stuff, and he hits him around. And he talked like, this is by faith. Well, I said, when your faith starts working, give me a call and we'll consider it. But I said, while it ain't working, I said, you're telling people something that ain't true. I said, you don't tell me you have a miracle ministry. I said, if the Holy Spirit ain't working, you ain't going to have one. That's the way it works. And I said, you know, you're doing advertised to promote yourself. We should be promoting Jesus. if he ain't in it, you know, we need to be very careful about this stuff, you know. We can be bold about our faith and things and that stuff when we're ministering to people, but we're not out there trying to use advertisements of ourselves. Because sometimes I've seen things in advertisements of people doing meetings, and I think, oh, man. You know, it's like Brother Hagin used to say. He said, man, you think Jesus Christ himself has shown up some of these people. What's Jesus going to say? He got a chance. That guy's so much greater. Magnify Jesus. Well, he said about these things at satanic origins. We're going to look at that in concerning scripture-wise because of what the Bible talks about Satan's ministers. Satan has ministers. The scripture says so in the New Testament. His ministers, they make themselves into ministers of light. If they do that, do you know where most of Satan ministers are? They're in churches. If he wants to bring deception, that's the place to bring deception. If he can get the church off base, he's done very well at it. And people, this is why people don't understand or follow God. They don't check to see what God's doing. This looks good or that looks good. It's not good at all. Well, he went on to say, but how do you get around this deception? He said, but follow the word of God and the spirit of God and follow me and you will not be deceived. Jesus gave these three things and you've got to follow them in this order. Number one, he said, follow the word. Jesus said, told him, follow the word first. He didn't say follow signs and wonders and predictions. The word first. Second, he said, the Spirit of God. You know, people say, well, I just follow Jesus. Well, if you ain't following the Word and you ain't listening to the Spirit, you ain't following Jesus. You can say you are all you want. The only way you can follow Jesus is to know the Word and the Spirit, or you can't follow Jesus. That's just the way it is. One of the things I was glad to learn as early as a Christian is Kenneth Hagin made this statement when he was in the... They had what they called the Voice of Healing in those days. There was a magazine that was put out that all the major ministers used to advertise through and things like that, and writings and stuff were put in it. And he said they would get together. He said the ministers who worked through this thing, he said, that put out the Voice of Healing, they would meet together. And he said a lot of these guys had, you know, they God moved very powerfully through a lot of these ministers. But he said, I told them this. He said, when everything clears and everything is done, he said, I will be here. You guys will be long gone. He said, because he said, I have founded my ministry on the Word of God and you have founded yours on the gifts of the Spirit. Well, if you put the gifts first, you can be deceived. Because if you don't know the Word, you can be deceived. That's what I saw happen. You know, it's one thing as I learned from the Word of God. There's only one thing that the Holy Spirit will do, and that's magnify Jesus. Always does. Whether it's in the Word or whatever He does, it's to bring glory to Jesus. The Holy Spirit never tries to make people look great. It's always to make Jesus look great. He takes the Word, He reveals it to us. The gifts of the Spirit that operate, when they operate by the Holy Spirit, they operate to bring glory to Jesus. And you've got to keep that in that perspective. It's like when I've told the story many times of the woman who was sitting in a meeting and her oils are pouring out of her hands. There's a supernatural manifestation taking place. It is supernatural. She's filling towels with oil from her pouring from her hands. And if I said name to you the big name ministers who were in that meeting, it fell for that. People shove money to them like crazy. There's a few of them that are no longer on the earth today. They passed and gone home to be with the Lord. But you know what? They were deceived. And one of the funniest things about it was, I mean, I knew it wasn't right. Why? Because of teaching in the Word. Things that I listened. You know what the Holy Spirit brought up to me sitting at me? He brought up to me and I heard Brother Hagin's voice in my spirit. The Spirit brought to me a thing he was teaching. He said, whatever's going on, it doesn't bring glory to Jesus. It's not. He said, the Holy Spirit is not moving up in the front through the minister and somebody down below, he's bringing something through, it distracts. He never does that. Why? See, that's confusion. And this is what people love, the confusion. All the devil has to do is throw something that looks a little miraculous in and everybody will just turn away from Jesus that quick and go, they won't pay attention to it. And I knew sitting there, this was not right. There's a guy preaching. She's down front here. God wouldn't do such a thing. Because that's bringing confusion. That's bringing division into God's operating. God's working against himself. Is that what he's doing? He's not. No, he doesn't do that. And I was going to say this one real big name minister. If I said everybody knew who he was, got upset. God said she's supposed to lay her hands on us, and I said, "Adios, amigos. I'm out of here. I got my horse and out of town. I just we're not going there." You wouldn't believe how. People got so upset when they found out. I remember this. Brother Hagin tried to tell students at the school about this. And you know what? They would not listen because certain other ministers, well, these other ministers are there. They know God. Brother Hagin tried to tell them, be careful about what you get around to. No, this other guy's big name. See, people move by who they think's big. See, it's more important what's outwardly than what's inwardly. I'm always so thankful I got to sit under Brother Hagin's teaching. The Lord told me when I first got saved, he said, you follow his teaching closely. Well, I found out why. Because he stayed with the Word. He stayed with the Word. He didn't get over into nutty extremes about stuff. He taught things that would protect you if you'll follow them. It's number one, you can't go wrong listening to the Holy Spirit. When the Lord told me in February 1980, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. I'm glad I took that to heart. I'm glad I took that to heart. Take that to heart. That's a big thing. Because there's much deception today. You know, the devil don't want you blessed. He will do everything he can to get you out in the field. We were listening, Randy Greer made this statement. In fact, we were listening to on the way up, I was listening to the series of his teachings down. I was listening to him again. But he made this statement. Satan is such a great deceiver that one third of the angels that were living in perfection saw God face to face, lived with God, followed him. He knows how to deceive. Down here, if he could do that up there, what about people down here? Two people walking around the face of the earth. God comes down in the cool of the day every day and walks with him, and they still rebel against him. Satan got to deceive them. He's good at his job. He's good at his job. And we're saying it for this paper. It's not to criticize anybody. We got to see who we're dealing with here. There's one thing that he has over 99% of people. He's persistent. He will not quit. He'll keep after it. Haven't you noticed? He will. But you don't have to be. If you walk in the light, he can keep after it all he wants. But you got to stay in the light. Don't be quick to jump on the boat of things. People want you, oh yeah, they're doing this, we got to do this right away. No, you don't. You can stop, check things out, find out. You got to walk in the light you have, no matter what anybody else says. I found this out as my walk. I was never really popular with the big crowd. And I was always thankful because the big crowd usually... they usually miss it because they're following things. You know, the devil won't hook you on big things. He gets a little bite here, and then he'll get a little bit bigger bite, and a little bit bigger bite. He'll lead you over. He never comes around. He'll never tell you some ridiculous thing you could never believe. He will come along and give you a piece of truth and throw a little bit of lie in there to get you to come over, you know? Do you ever run into people that are like that? That'll come around and tell you a little bit of something to sort of truth to snag you over in? You ever run into that? Well, who do you think he learned that from? Slowly trying to sucker you in there. Well, so-and-so said such and such. And they'll tell you half the truth of what that person said. No, then they add your little bit. Oh, my. But anyhow, it goes on here. It says, therefore, he gave several exhortations to watchfulness, to awake, to pray, and not to be deceived. Don't think it's right. You know, you hear something in teaching. I learned from Brother Hagin this. He said that he didn't teach anything that he didn't learn how to walk in first. So that way you prove out that something's true. In other words, you need to come to the point that you know that God is speaking to you in that. And so know that about yourself. Don't think yourself weird. You don't have to prove yourself to somebody else. You walk in the light that you have, that you understand. If you don't have it yet, I found some things I was slow to catch on to. Other things I got on to really quick. Other things I was slow, rapid. You know what? I never found God hitting me over the head about it. Now, if you're going slow at it because you're lazy, you might get hit over the head by the devil. But God's not going to do it. But if you're generally walking along in the light that you understand and you know, you're fine. I mean, you need to understand where you're at. Praise God. So just walk in that light. Well, and then he goes on. Then he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. As I finally spoke to Noah and said, yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I will make will be destroyed off the face of the earth. So today I am speaking and giving America her last call to repentance. The last call to repentance. What's God been doing these last years? Well, he's been doing something the church has not been doing. Calling America to repentance. Oh, the church has called America to a lot of things, but repentance ain't one of them. We've been calling them to prosperity. We've been calling them to everything, but not to repentance. We need to understand the importance of this, of what's said. But he said, and the time that is left is comparable to the last 7 days of Noah's time. Last days of seven times. Noah, what's in the last 7 days? Noah's putting animals in the ark. He's getting ready to leave. The church is in a preparation time to leaving. We're headed into that time. You know, God's merciful in giving time. Ay-yi-yi-yi-yi. But he's very merciful in these things. Now listen what he goes on and said. Warn this generation as Noah, his generation, for judgment is about to fall. Oh, I thought it was this great blessing is going to come. He said, judgment. He's warning that in his last days is about judgment's coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment's coming. We'll deal with some of those things later on and some things about that. Talking about, and these things shall be fulfilled shortly, for I am coming soon. And he said again, this is the last revival, and I'm preparing my people for my coming. Judgment is coming, but I will call my people away even unto myself before the worst shall come. So he says, be thou faithful, watch and pray. We're concluding remarks for the end, the time of the end of all things is at hand. But I want you to see that. He said, the judgment is coming, but we will... I will call my people away, even unto myself, before the worst shall come. See, this is one thing, because things that God had shown me, when after I got saved in a number of things, you guys have heard me talk about this, I sort of felt like a lot of ways I was sort of always a left shoe trying to put on a right foot because of what people were always prophesying. When you go back in the 1980s, I mean, and in through those times and into the 90s, it was nothing but, oh my God, it's all going to get so wonderful and so great. And when Jesus comes back, we're going to be living like heaven and earth. And I'd think, well, why would we want to leave? It's going to be so wonderful. But see, people were saying these things and I'm thinking, I'm not getting that. These guys saying they believe Brother Hagin saying is a prophet. And I'm thinking, they ain't even listening to what he says. The prophecy don't say that. The Bible don't say that. Poor Paul didn't know. He said people were going to get worse and worse.
Right.
See, people were saying, I'm reading the Bible and I'm sitting down saying, what is it? What am I looking at? One of the great things, number one, that, and I say this, and it was very beneficial to me. When I was a kid growing up in church, I didn't understand a lot what they talked about the end times because it was always like, you know, God's going to get you. That's what I always knew. Just God's going to get you. That's it. You know, it's like, you know, you really say God's going to get you and you can't do anything wrong. Or God's going to get you. He got this big filing cabinet of everything you ever did and he's going to get you. So, you know, I was more in terror about what was going to happen than anything. But there's one of the things that helped me immensely was this is I was young. Maybe 12 years old or so. I just turned myself off to it. I rejected the Christianity. I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. I didn't care about their teaching anymore, what they said. One of the things that most people, I find, is a very hard thing, and I found it's even preachers today, they come out of religious backgrounds. They came into the move of God, into the Holy Spirit and all this stuff, but they drug in a lot of their teaching. And when they read things, they still read them in the light of many things that they've already been, they accept it as true. See, if there's things you've accepted as true and they're wrong and you're bringing along, when you see something light, you just add it to it and go on. And you gotta, this is where you have to let God deal with you about things. Do you know what Kenneth Hagin said to this? Now, and I have a tape of it. He said, talked about God dealing with him about his, he was wondering, because he felt he was really limited in meetings, what God could do. And the Lord started dealing with him, and the Lord said to him about things that he had in him and teaching. But one of the things he said, his religious background, his religious beliefs. And he said, really, dealing in the areas of religious beliefs were the hardest things he said he ever had to try to get over. Because you accept things that are true. Because they were taught as truth, and you just believed, you know, it was right. And you heard all these people say it. And we accept people as they said, you know, things that were right, and they were saying they were right, that they should have known, and that. We can't take it by that. We have to listen to the Spirit. We have to judge everything. You judge it all. If a person, you know, won't allow you to judge something they say, you know, the Bible tells us to judge the prophets. And today is one of the big things. You don't judge a prophet. You don't judge anybody. You don't judge anything. That's why things are darn messed up. You better judge something. I can judge anything against the Word. I can judge anything. If a man says something and he will not allow me to judge it, I will definitely know he's messed up. He's definitely got it. Number one, he ain't Jesus. He can make a mistake. And to not allow people to judge what he says. If I can measure it against the Word, you know, the Scripture tells us if a guy prophesies something and don't come to pass, he's a false prophet. Do you realize how many big-name ministers that people right now, Spirit-filled ministers, are false prophets? They've judged, said things, and that didn't happen. All of this COVID stuff running their mouths like crazy on TV and everything else, and we're wrong about it all. How many repentance did you hear? No, and they'll just blab on them. They've been deceived, and they're going to be deceiving, and they're deceived and deceiving. That's what they do. Whether they lie, I'm not against them, but they're in a trap. They're in a trap to continue in the deception. One of the things that you're going to overcome in deception is realizing you're deceived and say, hey, hold it. Put a halt to it. You know? God's saying things and it don't come to pass. God says things, but it don't happen. See, we need to be very careful because we're running into those kinds of things today. Those things are happening to us. Dealing in the areas of judgment. We're into an area and a time of judgment. Have you not noticed in America? Does it look like a time of blessing to America? Does it look like? No, judgment. Now, is God doing this? No, God's not doing this. But you know what God isn't? God protected us from a lot of stuff in this nation. But now, he's letting America have what it's sown. It's sown to the flesh, and now corruption times come. Righteousness must always judge. It has to, or it's not righteous. We can't call him righteous, and he helps to promote sin, helps promote right wrongdoing. He's just going to let it go. Tell me he's righteous. But the wicked never get judged. Even from the church's standpoint. There's judgment coming and it's dealing in areas in the church. Right now, much of the church is being judged. We're going to see more judgment in areas of the church. We're going to see more things closing up. And you're going to see more things that are going to go down the drain and not work in areas because of judgment. They've gone off into paths. Who needs the church? If all the sin's all right and you don't have to repent, who needs a church? Who needs them? I can live. Everybody's going to go to heaven. What's the point? Let's just do whatever we want to here. We're all going to go there. Yep, everybody's all right. Everybody's good. You don't say nothing about it. That's just, you know. Everybody today trying to bring unity in sin. We're going to live in unity with sin. Oh, it's going to be so nice. We need to be careful in these areas. We're going to go in next week. We're going to look at one other vision of Kenneth Hagin. We're going to look at some things then too. Where really is light comes over time and God shows things. Some of these things, I don't know, as God showed me for my, I think somewhat for myself to understand some things and know we can share things, you know, we can share things with people. But there's things that I've talked about years ago that the Lord showed me, and people that followed certain big name ministers, you know, they were like, you know, well, he said, and I don't care what the person said. What did God say? What did God say about it? Well, I found out over the years what this guy and if they're following ain't right. It ain't work like he said it was going to happen and didn't happen. None of it. But you know what? They still follow it and shove their money to it. Nobody expects anything. But one of the things that we need to understand this, and I pray that we would get this out of here. The only thing that's going to save America, God said, is a repentance. That's the only thing. He didn't say Donald Trump will come along and he will be America's savior. If we can get the Republican Party, it's going to get the right guy in office and it's all going to get fixed. The only thing he said that could save him, is that correct? You know, I prayed about this stuff. I asked the Lord, you know, am I missing it? Do I don't get this? It just seems that others don't get it. They say they believe in these prophets. Hold it. What did he say that we're supposed to be calling out to America? National repentance. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Calling America to repent. Do we see that today? Do we see anything? No. People say, we're going to have a big revival and we're going to have... Not if something don't change.
That's right.
There's things that bring revival. Do you know what revival? The revival's not sinners getting saved. Revival's the church being revived, Christians being revived. Christians want to be people come to Christ without them getting revived. The reviving of the church comes before. And we'll talk about that later on. The reviving comes first in the church, not the world. That's why it's important for the church. We need a revival, but revival will not come without repentance. Years ago, I was just doing studying concerning revival and things. I studied about revivals. There was revivals and stuff that started in America and happened in different areas of America over the years. Back in the centuries that took place, you don't really hear people talk about some phenomenal things that took place in areas. But I got over looking at some ministers years ago and that stuff who were, you know, over time have really proved themselves that they were really walked in the light. It's like one of them I heard say, he made this mention. He said, any churches that I went to, he said, a ministry, he said, we never saw much of a move of God. He said, usually from it took around 8 to 9 to 12 weeks. He said, till you could get the church to repent. When they did, then stuff would start to happen. I thought, well, that there sort of seems strange. But then Kenneth Hagin talked about this. Kenneth Hagin said that he would go into churches and he would teach. He said he would go to churches anywhere from usually 3 to 9 weeks, up to 9 weeks. He would say church. He said, you never saw any notable things ever happen, at least to about the third week. Any notable things would start. So you got to bring the church into line. What they're trying to do today is people want everything to come in line in one service. If you walk in, the minister gets anointed and then everything works. And I've said this before and I will say it again. You can't go any further than the spirituality of the people in the pew. You can't go any further. This is one of the reasons why you'll see large, sometimes these very large meetings. You can get enough people there that know the move of God can get a thing flowing. But generally, you can't do that because there's too many people that they're just coming to church. They're just going through the thing, but they're not hooked up. They're not flowing in there. We had a flowing. You're going to pull. The anointing operates through me as people pull. It doesn't. Jesus went to Nazareth. Do you think he wasn't anointed there? He couldn't do any mighty work. Why? They determined what was going to happen there. Jesus did. God didn't determine what was going to take place there. They did. They determined what was going to happen there. We determine what God's able to do. We determine that. I determine what God can do in my life. You don't. You don't know how much you pray for. You'd pray for me if I don't yield to God. Don't matter. People have these ideas about things, and we have this stuff, and it's nothing but religious stuff. We can just get a real religious guy, you know. We had a church, a very large church. They claim like about 3,000 members. The pastor said to me about having this great meeting. They had an evangelist in. He was a guy. He was from India. And he came there, and they had these special meetings and things going on. They had a number of notable things going on. He said, "We're having revival in our church." I said, "You are?" He said, "Oh, yeah, we're having this going on." And I said, he said about the guy that was there. I said, "When he leaves, you'll find out if you're having a revival in your church." And they found out. He left, and everything left with him. Because that pastor, I knew, he couldn't have a revival if he wanted to. He could get large numbers of people to come because he has a great personality. People like him. They'll come to his church. He'll make them all feel good. He knows psychologically how to work people, and they think it's an anointing. Isn't it but psychology? You can work people. You learn psychology. You can work people easily. You can get people to do all kinds of stuff psychologically. See, God works by the Spirit. He won't work on you. He will not manipulate you in the kingdom. He'll let you go to hell if you don't listen. He's not like that. He's not manipulative. If God can't have your will, He don't want you. You came to Christ by your will, not His. Not, don't matter if He draws you. You respond by your will. It was your will. God wants you to willingly come. He wants you to willingly respond. He's not going to manipulate you into something. That isn't how it works. He'll tell you the downright truth. Why? He's not a manipulator. He's not going to give you a false idea of something. He's not going to give you some. If he did, he's no better than the devil. He's a deceiver. God's not a deceiver. This is very hard because we live in a psychological society here in America that uses manipulation. I mean, my God, who's better at it than our politicians? They know how to work a crowd. They learn how. They have all these things. Man, they go to classes on how to work people and how to do this stuff and the things that you got to do to get people to do stuff to give. And you tell them all this stuff and, you know. I mean, I get stuff from the Republican Party and from Trump and all these different ones, and I mean, they outright lie in their letters and things and send them to me. "Oh, you know, you're one of my best. Hey, I have this special place at this dinner if you'll come. It's just for you." Yeah, and there's 25,000 other people got the same letter for those 500 people that can go to that dinner. Biggest liars. And they do. But they, you know, the people, "Oh, I'm special. I get this special place." You probably won't get in the door. They just want your money, stupid. They don't care if you show up or not. Send the check. They do these things. And you know, they sit there and they tell you, "You know, we need to bring integrity back to America, and I'm sending out 2 million letters with lies in today." We need integrity in America. No, we don't. We need repentance in America. Amen. And we need to get back to that. If there's not going to repentance, there's not going to be a change in America. America's hopes will be dashed because right now, even most people think conservatism. They think about Christianity. I'm sorry, conservatism and Christianity. I don't recognize it. They think about, "Oh, we get the right people in office." They're going to be so disappointed because they're living in a country that's full of lies that won't repent. That won't turn toward God. There's one salvation for America. It's turning to God. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you. We can count on you tonight. I'm so glad we can look to you. No matter what man does or how they do and carry on, I want to thank you. The Word works for us. And we're going to walk in the light of the Word. We're going to stay in the light of the Word. We're not going to move, Lord God, from the things. And we hear many voices, and many voices are saying all kind of things. But Lord God, I want to thank you. We know your voice. Hallelujah. And we just thank you. We're going to follow your voice. Lord, we're not afraid of the future. You have a plan for our future. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we know our destiny. And Lord God, we don't have to be afraid. Father God, you're well able to take care of us. You're well able to look after us. And we thank you, Father. Father, we're going to keep doing the truth in front of all in this land, whatever men do. Hallelujah. We're going to walk in the light of the truth because we love other people. We're not going to live a lie. Hallelujah. Just to be accepted, because the power is in the truth. The power is not in a lie. Hallelujah. Miracles are in the truth. They're not in a lie. And we just thank you, Father God, you're a miraculous God, and we desire to see you move miraculously, and you will. You will demonstrate your glory. And Lord God, it will be through those who will humble themselves before you and declare your lordship. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we want you to lord over us. We want you to rule over us. Hallelujah. Because you do wonderful and glorious things, and we want you to be able to demonstrate your glory, that men would look to you and call on your name and be changed and be saved. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Father God. We're not disappointed, and we will not be disappointed. We're not going to be deceived, Lord God. We're going to keep following the Word. We're going to keep listening to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, we'll be following you. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.